This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Tim Keller's a minister in New York City. He's a great author. He's considered one of the top authors of the day. He really is. And he was going to speak for a series of men's breakfast on the seven deadly sins. My guess is most people couldn't name the seven deadly sins, not because you're supposed to be able to name them, but here's what he did. I'm going to preach a series on the seven deadly sins. What are they? Pride. Number one, pride is excessive belief in one's own abilities that interferes with the recognition of the grace of God. It's been called the sin from which all others arise. Envy is the desire for others' traits, status, abilities, or situation. Gluttony is the inordinate desire to consume more than that which one requires. Gluttony is the inordinate desire to consume more than that which one requires. Number four, lust is an inordinate craving for the pleasures of the body. Number five, anger is manifested in the individual who spurns love and opts instead for fury. Interesting description. They spurn love and opt for fury. It's also known as wrath. Number six, sloth is laziness or the avoidance of physical or spiritual work. And number seven is the word greed. Greed is the desire for material wealth or gain, ignoring the realm of the spiritual. Now, the reason I mention that is that Tim Keller is going to do a series of men's prayer breakfasts talking about the seven deadly sins, and his wife asked him an interesting question. She said, Tim, are you going to advertise the messages as they come up? Are you going to tell people, next week I'm going to speak on lust, I'm going to speak on gluttony, I'm going to speak on pride, I'm going to speak on envy? And he said, yeah, why? What difference does that make to you? And she said, I guarantee you, when you speak on greed, you will notice the lowest attendance of all those messages. And he shook his head, that's crazy. But she was right. It was the lowest attendance of all seven. Isn't that interesting? You see, greed is the one sin that everybody thinks is out there somewhere, but not with me. Greed is one of those sins that we say, yeah, I see greed in my brother-in-law, I see it in my sister-in-law, and I see it in my mom and dad or my brothers or sisters, but I don't see it in me, and yet it is a problem, get this, for all of us. Where am I going with this? Well, today we're talking about greed because the Apostle Paul talks about it to a young minister named Timothy. Next week I'm going to give the last message in this series from 1 Timothy called The Blueprint. But today, the second to the last message, we're in 1 Timothy 6, where Paul talks to Timothy about a sensitive subject in your life and in my life. It's called greed. Let's look at it. 1 Timothy 6, beginning at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Now, this is the verse that I've talked about recently. It's the most misquoted verse in all of the Bible, and it's misquoted in two ways. I've always thought of it as misquoted in one way, but it's actually misquoted in two ways. For the love of money is a root, not the root, but a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs.
Well, when we speak of the power of money, you very rarely hear anyone speak of the destructive power of money. We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Have you ever thought about money being the cause for you or me to wander from the faith? It's really a scary thought. When you think of all the things that could cause people to wander, I'm known people who've had horrible experiences in their life and they've just kind of wandered away from their faith, but money can be the cause in your life and in my life. And then if you'll jump to verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world, which by the way is everybody in this room in terms of the world, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. John Ortberg is an interesting author. He wrote a book called When the Game is Over, It All Goes Back in the Box. I love that title. Remember the old board games? You'd get them out, and when the game was over, everything in the Monopoly game went back in the box. And he says, that's a parable for life. When life is over, it all goes back in the box. He says this, that in 1970, not many Americans thought that a second car or a second TV were necessities. Now everybody does. I mean, obviously in our culture today. Can you imagine that? In 1970, not many Americans thought that a second car or a second TV were necessities. 11% of people thought air conditioning in their cars was a necessity. Only 11%. How many of you would freak out if you'd lose your air conditioning today, like me? I lost it just in the last week or two, and it changes the way you drive and the way you feel in your car. And he says this, everybody thinks that they need one thing to make themselves rich. This is interesting. Listen to that again. Everybody thinks they just need one thing to make themselves rich. You know what that one thing is? More. That's all I need, is more. You may disagree with what I'm about to say, but money is the most sensitive issue of your life. There was a time when I was younger in the ministry that I felt I had to be careful talking about anything to do with the sexual realm. Nowadays in the media, everything is talked about, and of course the latest thing that talked about is transgender, and that's all you hear. And so we are bombarded in that area, in our media, in our mind's eye, and we don't even think about it. But I'm convinced that the area that people still are the most sensitive about is money. Money is the touchiest subject, and I think I'm going to share some thoughts with you from this scripture and from people who are commenting on this scripture that it's true. Let's look at verse 7, one of the most important statements in the Bible, in my opinion. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Someone has said when you're born into the world with potential. And when you die, you take with you your destiny. For it's appointed unto man once to die, destined to die once, and after that, the judgment. We bring nothing into this world, we take nothing out of it. Verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You know, people don't believe that verse at all. Did you know that? People, American Christians, do not believe verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that.
Well, I know this is a sensitive area in your life because it's a sensitive area in my life, in the life of people I know and love, just like you. If you have enough courage, I'd like to ask you to listen to all this message this week on CrossHope. You do know that our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message again or to listen to any message you may have missed on CrossHope.
We bring nothing into this world, we take nothing out of it. Verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You know, people don't believe that verse at all. Did you know that? People, American Christians, do not believe verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Verse 9, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and to many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. I'm going to share with you right now the strongest statement I have ever read in my life by anybody about money. Some of you will find it offensive. Some of you think, that's just too strong, Randy, to share on a Sunday morning at Crossview Christian Church. I want you to listen to John MacArthur from Panorama City, California, when he says this, people who love money in order to get money will take bribes. People who love money in order to get money will distort justice. They will manipulate. They will take advantage of the poor. They will lie. They will cheat. They will extort. They will deceive, steal, and rob. They will abuse. They will commit every imaginable sin, fornication, adultery, if they think it will gain them money. They'll do bodily harm. They will kill for money. Every imaginable category of sin can flow out of loving money, because if you are consumed with the love of money and that becomes the driving force of your life, you'll do whatever it takes to get it. If you're consumed with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you will set aside everything that thwarts that, and therefore you're on a path of righteousness. And you cannot love and serve both God and money. That's what the Bible says. You can't serve both God and money. There's no sin excluded from the list of what people might do for the love of money. So if you can just deal with the affection for money, you've really won the battle. Now, I read all of that, all of his paragraph, to read the next line, because it really was like a slap in the face when I read it. Anytime you sin to get money, you betray a heart that loves money more than it loves God, righteousness, and truth. I'm going to say that again. Anytime you or I sin to get money, we break God's law or man's law to get money. That's what sin is, breaking the law of God, the law of man, in many cases. You betray a heart, and I betray a heart, that loves money more than it loves God, righteousness, and truth. And privately, some people, when they hear this today, will they hear it on the radio later, will say, I was offended by that. Do you know why they were offended by that? Because it convicted them. I'm always offended by sermons that convict me. Always. Just like you are. We're always offended by truth that convicts us, and we get mad. We get self-righteous. You do, and so do I. We all do. But I think it's a powerful word for somebody out of this text today. Let's look at verse 10 again. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. That's a poetic way of saying, look at a lot of the problems in people's lives, including yours and mine, and trace it back to money. Doesn't money cause problems in people's lives, in your family? Have you ever done a study of the history of maybe a part of your family, and you trace back the problems over the years, over the generations, and somebody says at one point or another it had to do with money?
Well, in all honesty, does that question resonate with you or your family? Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you.
Doesn't money cause problems in people's lives, in your family? Have you ever done a study of the history of maybe a part of your family, and you trace back the problems over the years, over the generations, and somebody says at one point or another, it had to do with money. It had to do with Dad's estate. It had to do with the will, you know, the deal with Mom. I've heard the conversations over and over about how families have split because of money. People don't speak to one another because of money. People won't have anything to do with people they used to be close to because of money. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Paul's giving final words in verse 17. I find this interesting. He's giving advice to a young minister named Timothy, and here's part of his final statement to Timothy in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. He said there's two problems with money. It causes arrogance. Have you ever known anyone that you felt had an air of arrogance about him or about her simply because they could go where they wanted to go, and they could buy the car they wanted to go, and they could dress the way they wanted to, and they could travel where they wanted to, and you had a sense of arrogance? But before you throw four fingers at other people, remember, we can point it back at us. The number one temptation with money is arrogance. And the second one is to put our hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, rather than to put their hope in God. The biggest temptation for most people with money is that we actually believe that it's the source of everything. The biggest temptation with money is that men and women, Christian men and women, actually believe that money is the source of everything. As long as we've got the money, we've got life. As long as we've got the money, we've got happiness. As long as we have a little bit more, we've got contentment. As long as we have the money, we have a good relationship. And we find that oftentimes money does just the opposite, of what people think it will do in their lives. Verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, here's an interesting observation that I think I made. Paul's giving advice to two ministers, Timothy and Titus. There's the pastoral epistles are 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. We're going to be preaching through 2 Timothy and Titus next. And it's interesting that Paul would talk about money 2,000 years ago as an issue that Timothy, you better be concerned about in the church at Ephesus. Come with me 2,000 years later to 2015, and it's the burning issue of most people today in 2015. It's the source of strife. It's the source of conflict. It's the source of hatred. It's the source of bitterness. In so many families, in so many organizations, when you trace it down to its basic issue, the basic issue is money. Money is the most sensitive issue in your life and my life. And Tim Keller's wife said, Tim, when you preach about money and you preach about greed, you're going to have the lowest attendance. And she was right. Because people don't want to hear messages like 1 Timothy 6. You don't, neither do I. Because we always think it's about someone else. And today, maybe the Lord says, no, it's about you. It's about me. Christine Chacoan is from Lake Forest, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago. She writes a poignant thing about the death of her mother. A few years ago, my mom passed away. Thankfully, she died a peaceful death after having lived a good long life. Married to my dad for over 60 years, they raised 5 kids, enjoyed 10 grandchildren, and savored many friendships. After we gathered for a moving funeral, Dad asked us to help him sort through my mother's possessions, a normal family thing. Though we knew this task was coming, it was surprisingly hard. It was hard because so many things had memories associated with them. The picture of my parents' trip to Mexico, the dress she wore to my wedding, a string of pearls handed down from her mother. Some of her possessions required thought and prompted conversation among the children. What worth did each item have? Not just in financial terms, but the story that it told. You know, everything you have that your family will go through tells a story. You do know that, don't you? When people go through your stuff, they'll hold up something and say, oh, here's the story connected with this. I've gone through that already. It felt less like a burden than a privilege to make these decisions. And then there was the rest of her stuff. Now, this is interesting. She's not slamming her mother. She's just making an observation. So it surprised me when I went to clean out my mom's clothing. Even after distributing her best things to the kids and grandkids, guess how much stuff my mom had? 17 pairs of shoes, 21 pairs of pants, 24 belts, 34 dresses, 85 blouses and tops, 85. I was astonished. I didn't blame her. She had Alzheimer's disease for 10 years, and Dad was overwhelmed taking care of her. But as I stuffed bag after bag after bag of shoes and pants and belts and dresses and blouses and tops to give to charity, it got me to thinking, how much stuff have I accumulated over the years? I didn't bother to count the stuff in my closets. I just started getting rid of it. Possessions, we all have them. There's nothing wrong with them. Let me say it again, she says, there's nothing wrong with them. The problem isn't the stuff, but it's our relationship to it. The problem isn't the stuff, but our relationship to it. That's the essence of this passage in 1 Timothy 6. He's saying, watch your relationship to things. You and I were created for a relationship with the living God, not to have an eternal relationship with things. Because John Ortberg is absolutely right. When the game is over, it all goes back in the box. And as I understand heaven, there's only two things you take with you to heaven. You take your relationship to the Lord, and you take your relationship to people. The sad thing is, in the United States of America in 2015, the relationship to the Lord and relationship to people takes a ride in the back seat or the trunk. Or maybe it's not even in the car with some people. What rides in the front seat are things and possessions and money. That's what rides in the front seat of most people's lives. Decide today. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God who inspired the writing of 1 Timothy, that I'm going to have a different relationship with things, because the things that matter is my relationship to the Lord and my relationship to people. And everything else takes a back seat to that. Face the music, face the reality of 1 Timothy 6. Let's pray together.
Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.